Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. We're certainly glad for all of you here in the house of the Lord, all of our visitors. We thank you for coming this morning. Pray that the Lord will help us, everyone, to see and know the resurrected Savior. Hallelujah. Amen. God, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Father, we are thankful this morning for the privilege that we have to minister the word of God. We acknowledge our dependence upon you. We ask you for your anointing this morning. Ask you to bless this congregation. Father, you know every heart, every person that's come here. And I pray that the Spirit of God would minister to that heart and that life, standing in need of your help this morning. I pray, Jesus, that these altars would be used by hungry hearts, and people would find that the Lord's promises are true, that if we seek after the Lord, we shall find. And if we ask, we shall receive. If we knock, it shall be opened unto us. And we'll give you the praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I would like to speak to you this morning for a few minutes on the power of the resurrection. The Christian faith is based on historical facts concerning the person and the activities of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel engages the mind. You've got to think in order to be a Christian. There are certain things you've got to understand about Jesus Christ. It involves your mind, it involves your emotions, and it involves the will of man. It informs us of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It births in us a love for Jesus, and it subdues our will to serve the living God. This is what God is after in every one of our lives, to convince us of the reality of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, to cause us to love that Christ that died for us and rose again from the dead, and to bring us to the point that we are submitted to the lordship and the rule of Jesus in our life. One man said, if Jesus cannot be your ruler, he will not be your Savior. In order for Jesus to be your Savior, he must also be your ruler. He must be the Lord of your life. So the ultimate objective of the gospel is to change our minds about Jesus and to cause us to switch loyalties from a loyalty to the world to a loyalty to the person of Jesus Christ. This is the aim of the gospel, to get a hold of your heart and cause you to become loyal to the Son of God who loved you, gave his life for you, and rose again from the dead. God wants your heart this morning. He wants every one of you to love him and serve him. He knows that's what's best for you. You think sometimes you know what's best for you, but God knows what's best for you. And this is what it means to really live, is to turn loose of our life and give our life over to the resurrected Son of God. The resurrection was a demonstration of divine power. The word power is frequently used in association with the resurrection. In my text in verse 19, he said, I want you to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. So the resurrection was a demonstration of the power of God. Actually, verses 19 and 20 is rooted in verse 18, where Paul is praying, and he says, I want you to know that you may know, and then he says several things, but among those things he wants us to know is what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. This phrase, exceeding greatness of his power, is translated by the Amplified New Testament as the immeasurable, unlimited, and surpassing greatness of his power. This is what God says, I want you to know. I want you to know the immeasurable, unlimited, surpassing greatness of the power of God that was manifested when he raised Jesus from the dead. Paul testifies in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. This is what he says, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, Paul declares that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. He was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. So the word power is used over and over in connection with the resurrection of Jesus. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God wants you to see and comprehend and experience the exceeding greatness, the incredible greatness, the immeasurable greatness, and the unlimited greatness of the power of God. The power of God is a creative power, a power that it's able to make something out of nothing. It's a power that's able to take what's old and make something new out of it. There's a creative power in the power of God. God's creative power produced the world. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, for the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that people are without excuse. So people can look at the creation of God and see in that creation that there is a God, and that God is a God of power. His creation indicates that he is a God of power. And the power of God is what produced Christ in the womb of Mary. The angel Gabriel came to the Virgin Mary and said to her, when she said, look, I don't know a man, how can I have a child? He said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you, and that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So the power of God was demonstrated in the fact that Jesus was born of a virgin. This power of God not only produced Christ in the womb of Mary, but the power of God brought Jesus out of the womb of the earth and made an empty grave where Jesus once lay. It was the creative power of God that brought Jesus out of the grave. He is said to be the beginning of the creation of God. That is, his resurrection marked the beginning of a brand new creation. The old creation, which was characterized by weakness, by sin, by rebellion, by hatred, by iniquity, and by death, that old creation was judged on the cross of Jesus Christ. and buried with him in the grave. And when Jesus came out of the grave, he became the beginning of a brand new creation. That new creation begins with Christ. It ends in Revelation 21 and 1. This is the climax of it. It's consummated with new heavens and a new earth. And the Lord says, "Behold, I make all things new." So that through Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Christ, God is making all things new through the power of the resurrected Christ. That new creation begins with Jesus. It consummates in a new heaven and a new earth. Now, I want you to notice some contrast in the scriptures between that old creation and the new creation. That old creation began in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. God said, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And that old creation climaxed on the sixth day when God took the dust of the ground, formed a man, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So the old creation began with the creation of the heavens and the earth, climaxed in the creation of man. But the new creation begins with man. God taking the lifeless form of Jesus, rejuvenating that form and changing him, bringing him out of the grave. So it begins with a new man, Jesus Christ risen from the dead, the beginning of a new creation. And it climaxes in God creating new heavens and a new earth. So the old creation began with new heaven, with heaven and earth being created, and climaxed with man. But the new creation starts with man and climaxes with new heavens and new earth. Now stay with me just a few minutes here. Just want to show you a few things about this new creation. The old creation was polluted by man's sin and his transgression. But this new creation is purged from sin and its effects by the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. In that old creation, the offspring of Adam inherited his moral weakness and his inborn hostility to the rule of God. But in this new creation, Christ produces offspring, spiritual offspring, that are made in his likeness and are marked by holiness of heart and life. In that old creation, sin brought tears, death, sorrow, and pain. But in this new creation, the Bible tells us, all tears are going to be wiped away. There will be no more death, no sorrow, no crying, and no pain. Jesus started something brand new when he came out of that grave. He buried the old. He started something brand new. It's going to climax, brother, in that new heavens and new earth where there's no pain, no sorrow, no crying, no death. We're headed somewhere because Jesus came out of the grave. You talk about hope. The Bible says that Peter, writing in 1 Peter, said that God hath begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Things are not always going to be like they are right now. I'm telling you, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And all of the circumstances of mortal life are going to change when Jesus makes all things new. Praise God. I want to tell you that we are all born into that old creation. We are sons of Adam. We are children of Adam. We inherited the nature of our father Adam. We sin, we cry, and we die. If we die without Jesus Christ, we will exist in eternity in hell, always sinning, crying, and dying. That is, suffering an eternal death. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, eternal death in the lake of fire. I want to tell you, death does not change your nature. The only thing that can change your nature is the blood of Jesus. The only thing that can change your nature is the power of the resurrected Christ. If a man dies outside of Christ, he dies in the same condition he lived in. When he goes to hell, he'll still be sinning because he's still got a sinning nature. He's going to be sinning and crying and dying for all eternity in the lake of fire. So, you see that we're all born into this old creation. But the resurrection provides us a way out of our misery. Praise God. The Bible says in verse 19, listen to this. This is what God wants you to know. Through the resurrection of Jesus, the power of God is demonstrated in that resurrection of Christ. And he said, I want you to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us. I'm telling you that we are affected by that resurrection. Jesus didn't just come out of that grave to demonstrate power. He came out of that grave to resurrect you and me. He said, because I live, you shall live also. This power is toward you this morning. That is, God makes this power available to you so that your life can be transformed by the power of the resurrected Christ. Listen to this. This power of the resurrection, it produces results in everybody who believes it. I mean, believes it from their heart. This can't just be a head thing. It's got to be a heart thing. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that is Jesus as your Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, and with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Yes. I'm telling you, as a child growing up, taught about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died, that he rose again from the dead. I don't guess as a child I ever questioned the truth of that. But I was not saved merely because those facts rested in my mind. Those facts had to get a hold of my heart. I'm telling you, those facts had to get a hold of my heart. There had to be something going on inside of me. And there came a day that those facts got a hold of my heart. And I understood that the resurrection of Jesus meant something to me. And I experienced the power of that resurrection in my life. And the Lord transformed my life by the power of the resurrection of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, there's a way out of our misery. Thank God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That word creature means creation. He is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Glory to God. Hey, listen, I want to tell you something. The Lord won't just change your behavior. He wants to change your heart. I say, he don't want to just change your behavior. He wants to change your heart. The other day in the prison, there's a black boy there. I think it was Brother George, Brother Mike. Brother George, little black man. And man, he's got a hold of something, I'm telling you. When he gets up to testify, you can feel it. And he's got something to say. And he said, I used to go to church before I came in here. But he said it didn't do me no good. But said when I got in here, he said it got in my heart. Praise God, it got in my heart. The Lord changed his way of living because he changed his heart. And this is what's got to happen to us, brother. It's got to get on the inside of us. It's got to affect us and transform us. There's a power of the resurrection. When a man believes from his heart, God affects not only our behavior, he affects the motives of our life. And we begin to do what is right because there's a desire inside of us to do what is right. Brother, you take a man that's trying to live a Christian life and he's never experienced a transformation in his heart. He is a miserable human being trying to live a Christian life without experiencing the transformation of being a Christian. You got to be a Christian in order to live a Christian life. You can't do it without that transformation. But there's power. Hear me. There's power available to you this morning through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Life-transforming power. Just beyond my text in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul gives an illustration of how the Ephesians have been impacted by the power of the resurrection. Listen to this. He said, "And you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and in sins." These people had been impacted by the resurrection. They were dead in trespasses and in sins, but Christ had made them alive. Praise God. Some men said that Christ didn't come so much to make bad men good as he did to make dead men live. Because when he gets a hold of a dead man, dead in trespasses and in sins, and imparts to him life, brother, I'm telling you, it is that life that becomes the basis for right living. I said it's that life that becomes the basis for right living. And so the Lord, by his power, raises us from our spiritual death. It's obvious to me from these passages that faith in the resurrected Son of God will produce an immediate moral change in us. We are new creatures, brand new creatures in Christ Jesus. I can't remember the story completely. I'd wrote it down somewhere, but I couldn't find it. But I remember hearing a testimony on Dr. James Dobson's program about this lady was testifying. She's an older lady now, but she's testifying about how God saved her. When she was young, she just threw her life away. She just became a slave to sex and abused by men and party girl and drugs and just threw her life away. And time went on. She's living with a man, not married to him. God began to deal with her heart and remind her of some of the truths that she had heard when she was a young girl. She one day walking down the street, miserable, thinking about taking her own life. She's so miserable, hooked on drugs, hooked on sex, and walking down the street, and there's a church. She's miserable, thinking about taking her life. She decides to go in that church and see if there's anybody there that can help her. She walked in that church. She said she felt bad. She had a miniskirt on, and she felt bad. But she went through that church until she found somebody in that church. Guess who she found? It wasn't the preacher. It was a janitor. Found the janitor. And she began to tell him, "I've got to have help. I've got to have help. I need the Lord." She said the janitor dropped his broom, put his hand on her, and began to pray for her in the name of Jesus. He said the power of God came down. She got saved right there in the hallway of that church. Walked out of that church and went home and packed her bags. And moved out that very day and never spent another night with that man she'd been living with. I'm telling you, brother, that's what resurrection power does. I said, that's what resurrection power does. It transforms our life. It makes us immediately new creatures in Christ Jesus. Transforms the desires of our life. The German theologian Wolfhart Pannenberg declared, "The evidence for Jesus' resurrection is so strong that nobody would question it except for two things. It's a very unusual event, and if you believe it happened, you have to change the way you live." St. Augustine, while somebody comes to the piano, St. Augustine, bound by lust, living with a mistress, under conviction, a mother's prayers hounding him every step of his rebellious way, a mother's prayers troubling his heart at night, and under conviction, wanting deliverance. Oh, he said, I wanted deliverance. And I would cry out to God, oh, God, deliver me. But then he would add, but not just yet. I want deliverance, but not just yet. But he said, as time went on, his misery increased. One day in the backyard of his house, flinging himself up under a fig bush, crying out to God in tears, God saved his soul. The next day, walking down the street, he met the mistress that had had such a hold on his life, kept him from Christ. She said to Augustine, Augustine, it is I. He looked at her and said, yes, but it is not I. This is not the old Augustine you knew. I've been changed, transformed by the power of God. Can you tell the devil that? Yes, but it's not I. It's not me. I've been changed by the power of God. I'm no longer the old person that you once knew. You remember Diane Williams? Came to church here for years. She had a brother who was a drug addict. He developed serious diseases in his body. Dying boy, 39 years old. She wanted us to go see him. So we did. Went to see him. Sat in his living room and talked to him about his soul. I went there to prepare that man to die. Trying to get him ready to die. While I'm talking to him, the Holy Ghost whispers to my heart and says, Jesus did not come so much to prepare men to die as he did to prepare men to live. Boy, startled me. Startled me. I changed the way I was talking to that man. I said, listen, Jesus Christ said that he'd come into the world. The reason he came to the world is that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. If you want to know what it is to live, you got to know Jesus. Brother, after we got through, I didn't see no change in him. We prayed with him and I left. Not long after that, that boy gave his heart to Jesus. God wonderfully saved him. He lived about 3 or 4 months. In and out of the hospital. He'd go to the hospital, get out of his bed, walk up and down the halls, walk into rooms in those hospitals, telling people about what Jesus had done for him. Going over to the patient and praying for them that God would help them. That boy used to wouldn't have anything to do with me hardly. When I'd come around, he'd exit the house, leave. When I saw him after he got saved, he's begging me, come see me. Amen. Come on, see me. You want to talk about the Lord. Brother, I mean God transformed that boy's life. I was there when he died, sat by his bedside, drawing his last breath, preached his funeral. I told the people, I said, I want to tell you something. The man you once knew is not the man you see here. He died about 4 months ago, and there's a new man. This was a new man. Jesus made him a new man. I want to tell you, Jesus can make you a new person through the power of the resurrection. If you're tired of sin and you're tired of the old life, Jesus can give you a new life through the power of the resurrection. These altars are open while we stand this morning. Altars are open. If you're without Jesus, you need a change of life. You need the power of God. Come and kneel around these altars. Jesus will change your life this very morning.